I'm so glad the piano worked for that. It was just wonderful.
Yeah, you can sing a psalm in any key, I think. That's what that proves.
Right. Indeed. Right. Here's an email from Joan in Indiana who says, although I lost faith some years ago, I know there is great power in hymns and other sacred music. My grandmother, who lived to be almost 102, would sing her favorite hymns every day until almost the end. The words seemed to give her strength, and the tune was an old friend that could comfort. Her favorites were How Great Thou Art and Amazing Grace.
Oh, Dad, you have a story just like that.
I have a story about this. Good. Yeah. Oh, what a lovely, elegant way of putting it, the tune as an old friend. Some years ago, I was interviewing people on singing practices in local churches. And I was in Charleston, South Carolina, the holy city, as they say there. And I was interviewing a group of octogenarian women who had been in this, probably in the same Sunday school class for 60 years, probably called their class the young women's class. But anyway, I was asking them about their favorite hymns, and precisely those two hymns and many more that some of your listeners might know were there. It's been in their memory bank for years and years. And so I asked them, why do you like that music? Why is it so important for you? And this is what they said, these octogenarians. One said, when I hear that, when I sing that, I hear my grandfather's voice. Or when I sing that, it's like the smells of church suppers come back to me. When I hear that, I feel the vibrations in my mother's breast as I lean against her on that hard bench in that little church. What they were telling me is, Diane, that this music encodes body memory that's very deep. And that, of course, a humorous ending to this wonderful interview. There was a probably 90 years old. She was about 4'10" maybe. And I was asking, she said, I like some of these new songs. And this was my segue. And so I said, well, what's that? And she said, I like that new hymn, Lift High the Cross. Well, obviously, anyone who knows hymns knows that's been around a long time.
That's been around for a long time.
But it was the first time in the particular Methodist hymnal that had appeared. And I said, oh, that's great. Why? And then she said, when we come to the chorus. See, that's her vocabulary for the old gospel chorus. When we come to the chorus, she says, I belt it out. I'll never forget her gesture.
So wonderful.
Yeah. Emily, how did singing that kind of religious music sort of help you or re-ingrain in you those feelings about church that you had when you were a little girl?
It's an interesting question. I grew up singing in church choirs and in high school choir and so on. In fact, that's where Amy Ray, my singing partner, and I became buddies in high school chorus. Oh. So I grew up with that sacred music. We heard it played around the house, but as a choir member, you hear the four vocal parts, and it's a challenge to make something beautiful together. And sacred music, when Amy and I were arranging our songs, and still to this day, that sacred music arrangement style and the depth of that kind of arrangement with counterpoints, counterlines, stretching your harmony as much as you can, always Randall Thompson's Alleluia ringing in the back of my mind, those found their place immediately in Indigo Girls arrangements, and our fans know that there's a great emphasis on harmony in our work. So in that sense, the sacred music and sacred tradition lived on and lives on in our arrangements. And beyond my life as a person of faith, it's hard to articulate. I'm just thankful that I'm in a community that expresses this sort of ecumenical interest and takes the beauty of all different kinds of faiths and brings it together for people who want to work in the community. So that's life to me.
So it does not bring you closer to one religious faith.
No.
More than another.
Conversely, I think it opens me up to all the beauty of all the great faiths.
I understand. There are several pieces that I'd so love to hear from you. One is Hammer and a Nail.
Okay, well, we're going to segue on this one now. We're going to try to do this half a step higher, Diane, with
oh,
the piano
good.
Thing.
Oh, great.
And what we'll do is I will sing, I'm going to sing the last verse of Hammer and a Nail.
Okay.
It goes into the last chorus.
Okay.
And there is a tag, a musical tag at the end of Hammer and a Nail that's always been there, that's a direct sacred music text and musical line. And we'll take it into the hymn from that. So it's just another illustration of the crossover that's happened.
Marvelous.
So I'm up half a step, Dad.
Okay.
So you can do your thing.
Okay.